the April 12, 2021 Town Council regular meeting at 6:01. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Randall Mobley.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Jacob Elder.
Present.
Charlie Smith.
Here.
And Michelle Miller's present.
Thank you. Please join us for prayer and follow by the Pledge of Allegiance. Our prayer tonight will come from our St. John Paul Parish. Mrs. Thompson, please.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love, for your concern, for your compassion. Lord God, I just pray you look over our community, help us to work together as a whole, to make this a great place to live, for not only us, but for our children and our children's children. Give us wisdom, give us insight. And Father, provide money that we need, Father God, to start projects and finish them. And Lord, I just pray an end to this pandemic. I pray for those, Father, who are sick, for those who are caring for them, for those that have died. Lord, for all of us that have been affected by this, I pray for healing and for your peace. And Lord, I just thank you for the everyday blessings that you give. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented.
So moved.
A motion by Scott, got a second.
I'll second.
Second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of the minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, which is also on our website.
So moved.
Got a motion by Scott, got a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved.
Yes.
Got them on? Okay, thank you.
Payroll allowance claims.
Okay, thank you. Okay, approval of the allowance claims submitted by the clerk treasurer, also on our website.
So moved.
Got a motion by Matt, got a second.
Second.
Second by Scott, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of payroll allowance docket submitted by the clerk treasurer, also on the website.
So moved.
Got a motion by Matt, got a second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right, just go take a moment here to sign those documentations. Comments from our public. Danny, anything to say? Thank you. Okay, our first ordinance and resolution is resolution number 2021-OR-002. It's a resolution consolidating resolutions 2016-R-004 and 2016-R-005 for reporting purposes, amending abatement schedules for resolution 2016-R-003, 2016-R-004, and 2016-R-005. Jake, do you need?
Absolutely, Mr. President. So the long and short of this resolution is, back in 2016, the large industrial building that the Economic Development Redevelopment Commission helped get here. there was previously a tax abatement granted for those buildings. They were unsure exactly when they were going to be able to build those buildings, and so it was approved in three separate resolutions for the different phases. They went ahead and moved forward with two of the three phases. So that's sort of the first consolidation for reporting. The second amendment to that resolution is going to be, originally it was 100%, then 90%, 80%, 70%, so on and so forth for those 10 years all the way down to zero. They have written a letter to the Redevelopment Commission as well as the town council requesting 50% across the board each year. So there's really not a change in the amount abated, it's just a change per year. And so how that benefits the town is, year one, you're going to receive 50% of that tax increment. And looking at their SB1 form, the estimated value is $26,350,000. So we'll be able to capture 50% of that, and in return, the Redevelopment Commission can use that for, you know, various development projects within the town. But that's what's before the board tonight.
All right, like I said, after sitting in with Redevelopment, Terry is also on our Redevelopment. You know, this was an exciting thing for them to be able to get this type of funds right out of the gate and then keep it as a steady flow of income for our Redevelopment to move forward with it and continue to move forward strongly as they have been here in the last year and a half with our support. So I think this is a great thing. So I guess with that said, I just ask for a motion to approve this change of.
So moved. I'll make a motion to make a change from 10% increments to 50% for 10 years.
Okay. All right.
I'll second.
A second by Matt. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Got a second read?
No, second read.
All right. Perfect. I'm carrying you and your group are very excited to move forward, so I appreciate everything y'all are doing. Unfinished business, American Rescue Plan. This was done by our Bakersfield Advisory Service. And I know Charlie has been talking to Paige a little bit about this, so Charlie has some things you want to share with us.
Yeah, you know, obviously we've talked about this before, about the what's referred to as American Rescue Plan, ARP, for the money that we're going to be receiving from the federal government as it relates to the COVID relief dollars. I was involved in a educational seminar here, and I forwarded you all a link to that, so you get an opportunity to watch it about an hour long. Pretty informative. The main takeaway for me on that was, don't spend it right away. Take the time, get your ducks in a row, internal controls and all the stuff together. So while we have this proposal here, we still don't have clear guidance on what can and can't use, can be used on. So obviously we know we can use it on water and sewer infrastructure stuff. We also know from our budget cycle last year, we're potentially going to be having some shortfalls from the shutdown from last year, from general tax stuff, gas tax, and things of that nature. So while we have this, I think we look at it, we've got some time on this. I would ask that we just table this at this point. I don't think we need to rush into this. I think when some of the guidance comes out, myself and Jay, working with Clerk Treasurer, I think we can probably do most of the heavy lifting on this. I don't know if we need to engage with Bakersfield at this time. But again, I didn't want to put this in front of you. It's something we can all talk one-on-one about. We don't want to have a workshop to discuss this further, but at this point, I would ask that we table it and for some more conversation before we commit to anything like this.
I guess as Charlie's recommendation, I would make a motion that we table it till.
Okay. You got an extra motion by.
I'll second.
Randy got a second by Matt. Any other discussion about this? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Just new business, tax abatement reporting process, Jake.
Absolutely. It's more or less just bringing to the town council's attention that every time there's a tax abatement granted, the recipient each year has to turn in a CF1 form to the auditor's office. there's also a requirement that that CO1 form go to the municipality or the designated body who granted that tax abatement. And in the past, there were others here at the town who would go out and look to ensure that the applicants and the recipients actually did what they said they were coming in to do. You know, let's just use Clarion as an example. They petitioned, you all granted it, and then you saw the building built. You know, things happen, and so each year, you all have the ability to vote and say, no, that it didn't. So you can rescind it each year. If, in fact, you know, somebody representative, I would recommend it being the town manager who put eyes on, looks whether it's the tax abatement was granted because X number of employees or because there was going to be this improvement bill. If it's going to be granted, it's no problem. You know, Mr. Smith can go ahead and execute the document. However, if he looks at it, you know, it's very evident that what was presented before the board, what you all voted on to grant the tax abatement, that did not come to fruition, then a public hearing will be heard. And I would encourage you all to go ahead and make sure, just to hold everyone accountable for what they come in here to request. I know it's previously been done in the past, but just, you know, speaking with Charlie, I want to get on the radar of this board. You know, this is a new membership. I don't know if we've had too many reporting abatements here. So if you're good with that, just a simple vote in the affirmative to go ahead and utilize the, in essence, it's page two of the CF1 form. But that way, it gives Charlie the ability to put eyes on whatever's being requested. There's only a handful of abatements that have been granted here in town over the last several years. But if somebody did do anything, then that would be brought before this board for a hearing, you all would hear why, and then you can make your determination thereafter. You got any questions or?
All we're doing is eliminating the fact that 25 people come in Nashville, and we just leave it up to him to go on and decide that he wants to bring to us and have a conversation.
No, this is after the fact. So after you all grant the tax abatement, each year they have to report.
And so it's just like when we have to fill out a form.
Exactly. That's it. So what it ensures is that the applicant or the recipient does in fact perform and live up to their obligation.
Okay. All right. So it looks like that all we're doing is just giving Charlie this job to take over instead of us having it.
Yeah. Just oversight. Charlie's going to oversee it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Charlie.
Add it to the list.
Do we need to make a motion to approve, Jay?
I think it'd be fine.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Motion by Matt. Got a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same time, nay. Motion approved. Okay. Thank you. Wastewater utility summer rates. Charlie?
All right, so y'all have in front of you 52.01 in the dark blue listed as automatic lawn sprinklers, and the light blue says wastewater summer averaging. So what this does is clean up some of the language within here. I just wanted more or less just introduce this to you guys and put on your radar. I'll be having some conversation with you about this. It doesn't really take anything away, it just basically better clarifies and cleans up some of the other ordinances that we have as we go into the summer. As you know, we have the water pool filling credits for wastewater customers. They can come and reserve a meter, utilize that meter, bring it back in, they get a credit on their wastewater. What this does, it takes in the months of June, July, August, September, and it changes for the rest of the year for using lawn sprinklers and stuff. So ideally, basically, if you're using water, it's not going into our wastewater system. There's an average that we would do for that to issue credit higher use in the summertime. So again, not looking for any action on this tonight. Lead over this. I'll send you all out another copy. I think when I sent this to Michelle, the copy that got sent over did translate into the red line version. So you can see all of the changes. So I'll get you all an updated version of that. But again, I want to put this on your radar. And Jake and I are also working on part of chapter 52 session of our code for there again, just going through some of these cleanups and stuff from our utilities for ordinances on a regular basis. So.
So yeah. Do you want to do that?
How does this differ from what you sent me last week when I had that phone call? Is there any no big changes?
No, like I said, there's no changes on this. Like I said, I've made some updates, Jake and I had some conversation back and forth on it as it relates to it. Again, he doesn't have it in an updated version for ordinance tonight. It's just more of an introduction to the conversation we can bring back to the next meeting and have a little further conversation.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we still encouraging people to go and buy that little meter thing and turn that in?
No, they wouldn't actually buy the meter. So for example, if you have a swimming pool and you're ready to fill up your swimming pool, call the billing office. Because before we didn't really have a process for that. So right, if you're filling your swimming pool out of your garden hose, well, that water is not going into the sewer system. So the way we bill for sewer is based on your water usage. So whether it's our water utility or Silver Creek Water or Watson River, maybe that you're on, they send us the meter reading for water usage, and we base our rates for wastewater on that water usage, that water consumption, because we assume all of it is going into the sewer system. Well, this time of year, realistically, it's not. So again, you get into April, May, you get a lot of fill-ins in swimming pools, people then get a spike in wastewater. There again, that's why we put that meter ordinance in place. You can come, put your name on a list, and rent the meter for 72 hours with no charge, and fill up your swimming pool, bring it back. We have the initial reading when they came to get it. We have the secondary reading when they bring it back, and we take that difference and apply it as a wastewater credit on their following bill. So then what this does, it takes it a step further over the summertime to say, hey, you know, I run my water sprinklers over the summer, or do, you know, whatever you're going to do with your garden hoses and whatnot, where that water's not legitimately going into the system. We don't have a way to track that. That's where the summer averaging or the summer rate conversation comes in.
So, well, just for clarity, Charlie, the meter, is it the only way it works is fastening to a garden hose?
Yeah.
Correct. I didn't know.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just asking the question. That's the only meter we have. I mean, I don't have some of the pools like some people do, but some people fill up their pools that doesn't have it. They don't do it with garden hose. I guess they have some other type of, system. So.
And again, and that depends on, you know, they need to use our meter because we can check it in on what it went out as and what it came back as. We don't recommend it. I had a couple of residents call last year about, hey, I know somebody, can we utilize the fire hydrant? No, can't utilize the fire hydrant. No one, when you get into the fire hydrant without having proper operation training on that, you can cause water hammers, a lot of damage to our water system through that. Plus, it stirs up a lot of the sediment or things that get in pipes, manganese, when it causes brown water. So then you're actually pumping a lot of that into the pool and causes damage to the pools. Again, from a liability standpoint, I don't think that's something we want to take into account. So again, we always utilize and push for the water hose option on that.
So my question is 5201, that's up for discussion for the future as well, will repeal 93 code 9-36. Is that the way I'm understanding this?
Yes, it will fully repeal it, but it will update it.
Are there any remnants in 93 code that will remain with 5201?
Versions of section 4, which are listed in the blue, you see where it says parentheses, number 1 next to it, 1, 2, 3, will remain, and then section...
Well, I don't want people to be confused, because someone like myself, who has an in-ground lawn sprinkler system, the meter doesn't connect to the faucet, I'm going to have to pay someone to dig up that line and attach one to it, right?
Correct, you will no longer need to do that.
You will not need to do that. And what, how come?
Because it's going to average your usage over the months of June, July, August, September versus October, November, December, January, February.
So that was a big concern in my district with some of my constituents, was having to dig up and replace at their cost, which would be, $1,500 in most cases. So we're going to revert back to stay with the averaging system.
Correct.
But if they choose to go ahead and put one in on their own, they can use that meter read. They cannot.
No, because we do the averaging. This does away with the secondary meter altogether.
Okay.
That's right. But I didn't need this right. I need you to put them right in.
No, I'm just trying to make sure I get it right.
I want to make sure about your people.
No, again, like I said, conversation I've had with it's very difficult there. You go and you spend $1,500, $2,000 for a secondary meter, and we have to go out and read it once a year, do all the calculations, where with this, we can compare, you know, June, July, August, September, the highest use summer months versus winter months, when those aren't in operation, compare those two, and if there's a difference, there would be a credit issued in the wastewater.
So, in layman's terms, for those that have underground lawn sprinkler systems, you don't have to worry about putting in water meters, or going to the average system, for everybody in town, there's no in-town, out-of-town.
For everybody.
So I want to clarify that, because we get that every year.
Correct.
And number two is, if you have pools, use your water, you can come down here and get one of those meters that would attach to your faucet, so you can get the water credit for...
Wastewater credit. All this is weighted to wastewater. We have to meter the water.
It won't come off your water bill, it'll come off your sewer bill, if you pour 600 gallons into your pool.
Correct.
Seems easy enough.
So again, you can either get the meter in April or May, because we're not averaging in April or May, or you can wait till June and just run it however you want to run it, because it will be in the averaging section of the year at that point.
So in simple terms, you're still paying for the water, just not what?
Always paying for the water.
Always paying for the water, just not going to pay the sewer.
Correct. We have to track the water to invoice for sewer.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, sir.
You want to take the one more step, then, real quick, then, to make sure that these folks, they usually get this water, do they have to tell the billing department? They don't have to say nothing to nobody. They'll know that somebody's watering, and the system will take care of that.
Okay.
Okay. $4,200.
Everybody who's on our wastewater.
You should be good.
So they get notification? Or there's no...
They don't have to get notification.
Just automatically subtract it?
June 1 starts.
Alright.
So, yeah. Think about it, if you have questions on this, in the email version I have, there's an option, you can type them off and on.
These people can go on our website and see all this information.
Yeah, well, we, we're good with however you want to do this, we can post this as, according.
Alright. Or you want us to vote on this?
No. We get formal language done. I just want to kind of introduce it for conversation, discussion, and again, if anybody has any questions or comments, or read-through, or changes, or tweaks, email.
Alright. Any other conversation up there? Summer rates? No general comments from the public? Still up. Street report.
Okay, sit back, take a long one, Mark.
Give me some time.
I need some time.
Okay.
No, I got a list. You want to stand before us?
Yeah.
Alright. First, I want to take an opportunity to thank Troop 6, scouts here locally. They did a road sweep here last week. They did New Albany and Ohio. They're also going out tomorrow night and doing a sweep down here on Penn Street along the railroad tracks. And I want to thank our police department, obviously they provide our safety and security on that with the officers. Also, special thanks to Northside Christian. They had their survey day over the weekend. They came up here to Mosley Park and pulled weeds and helped touch up some mulch and some general cleanup, bush trimming, stuff like that. In preparation for the 17th, we have the Beautify Celticburg group coming up, and they're going to be planting flowers up here at Mosley Park. Just one of many steps that we're taking to get that area cleaned up here before the Memorial Day ceremonies. We'll also be working with Troop 6. They're going to be doing some repairs of the gazebo over there, resealing some of the aggregate and different stuff. So a lot of stuff will be going over Mosley here next couple of weeks. We did start the Perry Crossing lift station rehab. I think Mike Harris probably touched on that in his report. We're working on some GIS improvements and updates within the water utility. We're also taking a step further within the GIS system for our stormwater. So we've got the guys out mapping our stormwater system so we know what we have in the ground. We're looking at how big the pipe is, where does it go, and how deep is it. And when we start seeing if there's any improvements we can do under the ground for stormwater flow in general. I had a nice meeting with some of the governor's staff here last week. I'm just talking about some general things from the governor's office, regional recovery efforts that they're doing through potentially the RDA, what that looks like as our community, what that looks like regionally for our area, and how that plays. met with him for about an hour, it was a really nice conversation as far as that goes. Josh Hillman and Mike Harris and I are meeting. We've met twice, got another one on books to meet about water and wastewater improvements, some of the revenue projections. Before we get to that point, revenue projections, we're going to start working through some potential projects and upgrades. So once we get some, a list of stuff solidified, Brad is wastewater liaison, we'll sit down with you and kind of review some of that. Matt is water, we'll sit down with you and review some of that stuff. I think this plays into some of the revenue projections for improvements, as well as some of the money we have come down from the feds, and how some of that's going to play into that. So quite a bit of stuff. Working on the background for that. We had the egg hunt Saturday before Easter. Pretty good success, I think. I don't know if y'all got out, if you're around town.
I looked a couple different ways.
That Easter bunny's tricky, I'm telling you. Kept telling people, Easter bunny's tricky. So we had the eggs. You know, there are quite a few local businesses here in town that they can step up and contribute some really nice gifts and gift cards and whatnot for that. First year, again, I think something the Parks Board's going to want to do again. Maybe tweak it a little bit on how we do it next year, but I think overall it was a really nice success. I got out and was obviously trying to keep track of what eggs have been found and giving updates. And, you know, as I'm circling around, going around these places, it was amazing to see how many people were out in cars just rolling through different areas around town. And you could tell because they're all, they were, some of them were watching the road, right? They're looking up at the water tower. They're looking, you know, I think I went back to Mosley Park, there's probably 10 cars back there, you know, 15 people out walking in the field, looking behind every tree. You know, so it was pretty neat to see. So
Charlie, do you have a list of those businesses? Maybe you can read that off real quick.
You know, as soon as I said that, I'm like, I should have wrote that down. I do have a list. I don't have it with me.
Okay.
I will
post it online.
I will post it online or something. But it was pretty extensive.
Okay.
You know, so it was good. It was really good. We did have a unexpected repair in Hillendale today. We had a water leak over on Florida, Alabama area. I think there were 12 houses impacted. We've been prepping for it, looking at it. We went to dig it up today. We verified some shutoffs last week. Went to get a lay eyes on the pipe today. And it hit, it fall to the point where we had to address it today as a repair. So there was 12 people that we had to notify to do it. I think so. There could be some people in Hillendale this afternoon. If any of you represent Hillendale, hear anything, we may have some brown water. Those who are affected by the shutoff and are on boiled water, 12 houses, there is an alert on the website that lists the addresses. Those people were notified. We contacted them through phone messaging, as well as went knock doors and left hangers on the doors for when they got home. So we also have another one that we're working on Broadway. That was going to be a little bit different. It's something we're going to be, we've got some valves downtown that need to be replaced. So when we do the downtown project here in the next couple of weeks, it'll be a rolling situation. We got about three or four valves we're going to replace at the same time. So we're getting a game plan for that. We'll be notifying all the residents accordingly that's going to be impacted on that area. But again, this is all an effort to do these improvements, you know, within our water system. So again, I think our goal is not to do auto shutoffs and no notice shutoffs and all stuff. We want to plan these things out strategically, give people plenty of notice, let them know they're coming so they can be aware before we get into that if we have to do a boil water situation for select areas. The next bill pay, if y'all remember, y'all approved the contract. The next bill pay for the billing office, that is live. Seems to be going very well. We've done some updates on the website for that, as well as now with the phone. If you want to call and pay over the phone, you can call. You know, thanks for calling down Sellersburg. Press 1. You press 1 for the billing office and say if you're paying by phone. Press 2. If you need to speak with someone, press 1 to kind of redirect some of the phone traffic and stuff for just calling payments. But all in all, right now, it seems to be pretty positive as far as feedback goes for that. We talked about the swimming pool. And then, at least just put something on y'all's radar. Annually, we have to do what they call CCR report for the water utility. It's a consumer confidence report for the water. And basically, it runs a calendar year from, you know, I think it's January to December. I think their calendar's funny sometimes on a couple different things. But basically, we have to go back and say, you know, here's all the testing that we've done. Here's everything that we've done. If y'all remember last year, we had something that was left over from 2019. Because the report that's filed 2020 is for 2019. And it came down to, there was a test. There was little bottles of water she filled and sent to IDM. In 2019, before any of us were here, the employee was let go, and that test samples sat in his truck for like 3 days. But that was during the deadline, so we turned it in, all our predecessors turned it in like 3 days late. Well, that was a violation, so we had to list that as a violation in our CCR mail and put it out. IDM wants to put it in there again, but you're trying to figure out why. So I just want to kind of put that on your radar. It happened in 2019, we already reported it once. There's no violations, there's no anything, everything's good. I don't understand, we're trying to figure out why they wanted to put this on their double jeopardy like. So again, just more of just put this on your radar, trying to get it worked out. But again, I just wanted to bring to your attention, this is the conversation we're working on about IDM on this thing. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, what is the life expectancy of one of the valves that is placed on down Broadway or wherever it's important? And how long do they last?
Conservatively, if they're exercised on a regular basis, 50 years, longer. I mean, a lot of the valves that we have in town are original.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're 70, 80 years old.
There's a lot of valves that need replaced.
A lot.
Yeah. So, but 50 years is
pretty
not out of the question.
Not out of the question.
Okay.
Normal use.
Yeah. So we go down through there and change them, they should be good for quite some time.
Correct.
Thank you.
So, I mean, but really, outside of a water problem, we have no reason to go and check them or shut them off, I mean, right?
Well, we that's one of the new, I think, protocols that we put in place since we come on. And again, we've got some, you know, Bill and Shannon and Water Utility. You know, it's one of the things, you know, we have a lot of valves that if you open them, you leave them open all the time. You need to shut them off, they're hard to shut. You know, they get corroded in place, then they break, and then we're running into an issue like what we're having now. It's where you try to go exercise these things. Once they exercise them, you go, you turn them halfway, you open them halfway, you just keep them moving. And that's part of your regular maintenance of the water system. And I think it's just something that through the transition of different administrations or different personnel in the field wasn't always done or tried, or wasn't tried. You know, unless there was an emergency and you needed it, well, then you're back tracking and chasing down valves. And what should have started as a very small isolation area ends up becoming half a street or a block or 5 blocks or half a town before you start moving out the circles of your valves to be able to isolate down what it is you're repairing. You know, it's no secret our system's very old. And, you know, it's got some areas that we need to address. I think you all have, you know, under your guidance and leadership, obviously that's a main goal that you all want to achieve. Well, in doing that, in the meantime, you know, the system's still aging. We still have issues. We still have these leaks pop up here and there. And we have to get in there and isolate these things down to fix them. And as these things have popped up and we try to get in, I start isolating, we've been keeping track. So, okay, now we're in an area where we've got to isolate. This should have been a very small isolation area. It's big. It's a bigger area. So let's start working this thing. How can we solve 5 problems while we're addressing this one that's popped up? And, you know, pressure's on the system. There's no issue. You only get a little bit of water leak. Water's coming out. You get a wet area, and you address it. Our issue becomes we end up having to isolate such a very large area. We have so many valves that don't work or we can't get to because there's so much sediment in the valve pit that we're having to back truck those things out. It just takes time. So when we do have a legitimate emergency, what should be a very quick situation to get in and address these things and isolate this thing, shut it down, get it fixed, get the water back on, becomes a lot larger of an operation, and it costs us time, a lot of time. And, you know, it's a struggle. So I'll leave it at that. So, and doing it the way that we're doing it now, a little bit more of a strategic plan of attack, allows us to get in there. We know what's happened. We verify what valves do and don't work. We can verify shut off. We know exactly who's going to be impacted. We can get in there and fix that. In the event that we have another issue later on, now we know, okay, this area of town is checked off. We know all of these valves work. And in doing that, we reflect them in our GIS system. This valve is open. It takes 12 turns to close it. This valve is closed. Here's why it's closed. And we can go through these things and update that system, which is what it's meant to be used for, instead of just having it in somebody's mind and on a piece of paper.
Charlie, just real quick, the, when you're accessing a valve, you know, I'm kind of naive about it, but when you're going to go access one of these shut-off valves or on valves, is it typically just a manhole cover? Is that where they're at, or?
They look, and you see them all the time, you probably don't realize that, they're, you know, usually the valve pit's about 4 inches.
Okay.
You know, it's a little circle metal thing, usually at the end of the street, or, you know, in the middle of the street, or on a street corner or something, very small. And then you have your meter pits, like for your houses, residential houses, they're usually, you know, 12, 14 inches across, you know, metal top.
Right.
So usually for water, we don't have full true manhole size pits, so.
I was just curious, and I guess, and clarify this for me, let's say we're going to replace a older valve, what's a new valve consist of? Is it all metal, or is there any, is it any of it PVC?
It's brass.
Brass?
Okay. It'll be brass, and then obviously PVC fittings go in, and then it's, you know, depending on the type of pipe that we have, is how it's attached.
And it hooks to a 4-inch, 5-inch?
Depends on the size of the, pipe.
And just an average normal valve, what would be the cost, not installing just a valve in, you know, just close, what would be a guess?
Couple hundred bucks, I mean, you're not overly spending, I mean, the biggest cost is the excavation work and everything else.
Yeah, it's all the labor installed, okay.
So, and we do have opportunity in some cases for different sized pipes, we call it easy valve or inserted valve, which you actually, there's a special piece that goes around the pipe, you excavate it out, it goes around the pipe, and it's on a self-contained, self-flushing system that drills the pipe and actually inserts the valve inside of the pipe without actually having to cut the pipe or shut the water off. And there's situations where we have to do that. And we've had to do that quite a few times in emergency situations, just because we haven't been able to shut stuff off because valves don't work, or when the system was put in, there weren't enough valves put in to begin with, so we have very, very large areas.
I'm just trying to educate myself some, you know, people will call me and I'm not real clear, you know, rather deflecting the call to you or somebody else, I'd like to just tell them what I know anyway, and sometimes that'll help them or clarify it, because, you know, it seems lately here, I mean, cross your fingers, it seems like we've had less, you know, so.
Well, I give credit to that to the team, really. I think previously it was, there's a water main break, it was an automatic shut everything off to repair it. We've been doing a lot of repairs that are live, to where we will open fire hydrants to get some pressure off the system, keep the PSI above what the requirements are, and then be able to get in the ground and repair it while there's still pressure on the system, which prevents us having to do complete shutoffs of the water. So there might be some fluctuations in pressure, you might have a little bit of brown water here and there, but for the most part, you're not shutting the, and that's where the boil water comes in.
Right.
If it drops below a certain PSI, you have to, by state regulations, you have to do boil water. So we've been doing a pretty good job overall, I think, the team, of not automatically jump to that step. If we have to shut it off, we have to shut it off. We have tried every other option possible not to shut it off, to try to repair that, to keep people in water, and not have the inconvenience of a boil water situation.
Yeah, I've heard lots of positive feedback on Bill and his guys. I mean, never ever heard anything negative about them. They're usually kind of on the spot, and, you know, they do it in pretty quick fashion as well. So that's props to Bill Rigdon and his team. So, all right. Now, I was just trying to educate myself on how the shutoffs, you know, what they were, whether it was the big one or the smaller ones.
Now, again, if that's something, you know, whether you ran it yourself or as a council as a whole, I'd be glad to, you know, I can meet, you know, Bill and I can come in, Shannon, and do a, you know, 15, you know, 30 minute workshop on, you know, how we attack things. We can use a couple of the issues that we've had that did result in a boil water, kind of show you the steps that we did and how we arrived at that decision. And then we can show you actually quite a few more that we were able to get in there and attack it in a way that we didn't have to. And I'll be glad to, you know, if that's something you all as a council or you just use yourself or sure. Anybody else who might have a conversation, I'd be glad to run through that just so that you all are educated on that topic.
Thank you, Charlie.
Just a quick update on the treatment plant. Since last meeting we had, the SRF loan closed. So thank you to Jake, put in a lot of work towards that. Dean at Baker Tilly, who's been here a couple times. Bo and Scott at Frost Ground Tide. All those people together put in a tremendous amount of work to do that, get that taken care of. We also got the permit from IDOT. We were ready to grab up, you know, set this guy's desk to get it done. He got it 2 days before the loan closing, so we have it in hand. We are working right now on what's called the conformed plans and specs. So we take the plans that the contractor bid on, and we take all of the items from the addendums that went out, and we put those into the plans and specs. So he's got one set of plans that has everything in it. So started working on that. We plan to have those to the contractor at the end of this week. I have tonight, and it is, I believe, in the back of your packet, the notice of award. So back a couple meetings ago, you all signed the intent of notice to award. This is the actual notice to award, so this will officially transmit the contract to them, tell them, sign the contract, send it back, and we'll be ready to go. So if you choose to approve that and sign it, we will send it to them. They will send it back signed. They'll send their bonds in, and we will be off to the races. We tentatively scheduled a pre-construction meeting for April 26th. That will be here. Obviously, anybody who wants to attend is more than welcome. I would not change plans here. It's going to be a bunch of talks about stuff for specific job, but anybody who wants to hear it, 26th, and then we will have a groundbreaking ceremony. Get you guys out there if you want to come out and get some fancy shovels and pictures and news cameras out there. Looking at the week of May 3rd through 7th, so I'll be in touch probably through Charlie to see if you guys have any of your time. So with that, I would ask you to consider the notice of award that is in the back of your packet.
All right. As you all see, these are Division 0 Achievement Contract in Section 005101 Notice of Award to Contracting LLC. Contract price of $19,568,000. That said, motion to approve this.
I'll motion.
Motion by Matt, that's second.
I'll second. Terry, second.
Second by Terry. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay.
And I know you mentioned the project, and I've done that 10 minutes ago. I've done it.
We're good.
I will tell you, Ferry Crossing is underway. We'll be doing the lining. They're cleaning everything right now. They have taken over the bypass pumping that was being done. They'll be lining the wet well this week. And airport pump station, we are waiting on a permit from IDOT. Airport pump station, waiting on a permit from IDOT. And then also, we'll be able to recover. Thank you.
Okay. Jake, you got anything?
That's a copy.
Do you need, they have to sign it, the contractor? Do you want a copy before they sign it, just for the record?
After.
Okay.
Actually, I don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. It seems like things are going well for us right now, and I want that to continue. Looks like COVID is kind of dying down a little bit. I know that's a good thing. Get back a little bit of normality here amongst our town. So keep everything moving forward. All good.
Okay.
I didn't have much. There was a, I wouldn't call it an incident, but Saturday night, a little girl on Cover Bridge went missing for about 10 or 15 minutes. We've all been parents here. We know what it's like when our kid runs away in the grocery store and can't find them. Sheer panic ensues for parents, but basically the whole neighborhood came out to look for this little girl. There's some lakes and ponds back there, and the police department arrived and began to use their resources within the first few minutes. And I was very proud of the neighborhood and the community that came out to assist. And that Saturday evening, after the rain, could have stayed home. But the police department using their resources, they were very professional. And I think that's what our residents look for. They look to police or fire, regardless of whether I'm out there or not, or the town manager is. It's something that we should all look to. We live in a great community, and we all have our different complaints and grievances. And in the end, when you have incidents like that, it all works out. And it's a big relief, obviously, for the parents. That could have been a major deal, but it wasn't. So very proud of those who came out to help and assist. And the little girl was found up the street, a couple doors. But other than that, please, you know, driving behavior, I say it every week, I'll keep saying it. The driving behavior is not, for the most part, 10% or less people who are cutting through your neighborhood. They're the people that live in the neighborhood. That's it. It's just the bottom line. So please, you know, in springtime, people are out walking dogs, enjoying the roadways, and eventually the sidewalks that we're going to fix and widen. And just your driving behavior, please try and slow down. And especially if you move in the summer, there'll be even more activity with kids roaming around. So other than that, thanks to everyone, all our town employees, and all you all for what you do. That's it.
I mean, you know, my usual spiel. I mean, of course, I wasn't here for the last meeting, but you know, I've always won. But I really kind of want to, you know, thank some of the people that made things happen on the way back after these teams all won. So of course, you know, I'm sure everybody's aware, you know, our cheerleading squad won state, boys won state, girls won state. But, you know, I give credit and a great working relationship with these guys. It's been a blessing to be part of it. But, you know, our Tri-Township Fire Department, I want to thank them for being part of it, coming back and celebrating these kids winning state. Our Salisbury PD, Clark County, helped at times. And, of course, some of our town employees, including Charlie, were part of it, too. And it just shows the connectivity between the community and our resources of fire and police, and even New Chapel was kind of in on some of it too. It's just a really cool thing to see, and then the community outreach, and kind of like what Scott was saying, you know, people could have stayed home, helped with that, you know, missing little girl, but they all jumped in and helped. And that's one thing that I've definitely seen in this community, is a very caring community. And we'll go up and above the call of duty. So that's really all I have. It's just been, it's been a blast. It's been a cool ride. It's been a great, almost, you know, a year and a quarter now being on this council. It's been a blessing. So I appreciate it, everybody.
Echo what Scott says, community safety with driving. Just urge everybody to be careful with the children out, people walking their dogs, not paying attention. I'd like to thank the town employees for the job they do every day. Thank Charlie for his management. I'd like to, on several occasions, I've spoke to Charlie and spoke to Bill Rigdon, and have nothing but praise for the water guys. They're just doing a tremendous job. Along with the rest of the town. I've heard lots of positive feedback, and it's really good to hear. Past that, you know, just feel like it's a privilege to serve the town, and think we are moving forward with, in a proactive way, and just not reacting to problems. We're trying to get a handle on some things and move forward. And as Matt brought it up, Gold Dragons, I was a Dragon for 4 years. It's big. It's proud of them. Proud of not just the players, but the people, the coaches, and the community support was pretty awesome. So it's makes me very proud to be a part of this community. That's all I have. Brad, I don't know if we need to discuss this during the meeting, the form for the if you want to bring it up. All right.
Yeah, I guess on my end of it, it's more about it's great to see us being a graduate of Silver Creek like some of us have been able to, and people that have been moved into our community. So I think it's great to see the community spirit and the greetings and the ideas of wanting to help someone that's in need of trying to find a child, or like I said, supporting a athlete and the sporting team all the way around the board. But more than anything, I want to thank the guys for getting the pool. Our pool's about ready to go, getting ready to get the deck done. I'm excited. I've been watching the guys get up there and work. They've done an outstanding job of giving us some thoughts and some ideas. Here next month, hopefully we'll be starting the paving program and everything. We've got $1 million worth of paving to be putting down here, and it's exciting to know that we've got some streets that probably haven't been looked at and taken care of. All this Utica Street is finally going to get paved over many years. I know a lot of people have tried. We just never had the funds to be able to do that. So I can't thank Governor and you know, our senators and our state legislators for their continued support here with the town of Sellersburg. It means a lot to think that we're very fortunate to almost get $3 million of the pavement done for $650,000, $700,000. We're very, very fortunate for that. As I think everybody probably got in their with their statement, or if they haven't received their statement, the notice of what we've come to you and tell you that we need to do and that we voted to do as far as your rates being raised. And so please understand, we're doing this for everyone's benefit. It's just not to build a $20 million sewer plant or anything else. It's to get our infrastructure put in place, get us in line to where we need to be moving forward for the town as a whole. So like I said, I can't thank Oliver Cruz, police department, and everybody else. I mean, I see our guys out there. I enjoy seeing their vehicles out on the road every day. I enjoy seeing them clean every day, and I appreciate them doing that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the town of Sellersburg is looking good and it's coming around. So we've got some exciting things. I know Charlie and I have talked to Jake. We've talked on a couple of different ideas throughout the last couple of weeks. So hopefully everybody here in town will see the exciting things we've got moving forward. Can't thank redevelopment enough for their desire to continue to give us some opportunities for some businesses to come in. I hope everybody now sees that where our road is going to be. Appreciate the landowners for their generosity. And I'm excited about getting this road in place. So, to finish up before I go to Michelle, Randy and I were very fortunate before we became council members to provide services for this great town we call Sellersburg. We have to sign a interest of disclosure statement, so I just need everybody to make a motion, I guess, to approve you all, and I need everybody to sign our two sheets of paper so we can give this back to our clerk treasurer. So I'm just asking for a motion just to approve this conflict. You got Scott, the second by Manny. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all very much. And we'll get you all to sign before we leave. Michelle, do you have anything there?
The only thing that I have is in Terry's folder is the annual nepotism certifications. There's one for each council member that you have to sign. Okay. We have to do this annually.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anything else from anybody? Do you have anything to say?
No, I will.
Yes, I do. Terry and another council have wanted the, a blood drive, to host a blood drive, and it does look like that's going to happen. Charlie and I've talked a lot about that over the last several days. We've had enough of our team members step up that we're able to ask to have it scheduled. So we're just pending a response from the representative of the Red Cross. It looks like we'll probably host a blood drive probably in June.
In June?
In June.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and when we get the notification on that blood drive meeting, we'll post it on the website as an event. That way, it's not just limited to the staff that have committed. People within the community as well will be able to go on and register through the American Red Cross. They'll be able to do it online, they can call, and they'll list us in their location map and date and time. So part of what we'll do, what we talked about doing is utilizing our parking lot here across from the police station as a location, because we've got available parking and stuff there to be able to do that. So thank you, Michelle.
Awesome, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ray. All right, with that said, I ask for a motion to adjourn.
So.
Motion by Scott, second by Matt. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Say aye, nay. 6:58.